very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, and welcome back to your favorite figure skating podcast, The Run Through, where we talk about all things that make us kiss, make us cry, and make us talk about the newest Netflix documentary, Glitter and Gold. One of your hosts, Ashley Wagner, joined by Adam Rippon and not Olympic champion, Sarah Hughes. You guys, we just wrapped up viewing the three episodes.
Yeah, we got a little sneak peek from our friends at Netflix of the new documentary series that is following Madison Chalk and Evan Bates, Laurence Fournier-Boudry and Guillaume Cizeron, and Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier. It follows them from about this time last year, right before the World Championships, leading into the 2025 World Championships, and then follows them through their Grand Prix seasons in the fall. And so it like finishes right after the Grand Prix final. And it's, I don't know, I thought it was a really fun watch. I watched it all in one night. I watched it all in a row.
Yeah.
Me too. I couldn't. Put it down, as they say.
When Netflix was like, keep playing, next episode, I said, click, yes.
Yeah, no, it was great. I feel like I know the characters a lot better than I did before. And it's like, it's kind of remarkable because we all know these people personally and like have followed them a lot. And so I feel like they did such a good job bringing out like new sides of them. And we're actually joined by the woman who made it all happen. I'm going to bring her on the stage while Adam sneezes. Katie Walsh, who directed and produced this entire series, is with us today. Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here. I'm sitting in a bathroom in a VRBO in Italy, and there's a bidet directly next to me, just to like set the scene of.
We wouldn't have you set up any other way. It's nice to know at all times where your closest bidet
right,
is.
Right, exactly.
That's so true. Well, Katie, I feel like I want to like introduce you to everyone. Like I've known Katie for a long time. She used to do some feature work for NBC, and we overlapped briefly on some figure skating stuff there. But Katie also did the Simone Biles docuseries for Netflix that came out around Paris time, and is now working on another cool project that I won't reveal, but that, she's extremely talented and also just a great friend.
And our friend.
And a listener of the podcast occasionally, as
big-time listener of the podcast, not occasionally, all the time. I don't miss it, so I'm a big fan. I don't have a button yet, though. I need a button. So
oh, we'll fix that. Fix that. Oh, we'll fix that.
Yeah, you forgot Sarah, my resume.
Are you a fan?
I was going to say.
Are you a fan of smoking?
Well, I obviously believe in smokers' rights. So,
yeah, okay. Well, that's there all we really needed.
You're on the right side of herstory then. It's good to know.
Exactly.
So I think the most important question we have to ask you is what is the most inappropriate thing that Adam said in his interviews that you had to
that
cut
you
out?
That would not use,
Oh, man. I need to do, like, a blooper reel, or maybe it's a highlight reel of just all the Adamisms that we had. There's honestly, there's too many to even. Adam is the MVP of this docuseries by far, and you had so many good things. It was a struggle to figure out what to include and what not to include, because I had, I couldn't use all of it, but I really wanted to use all of it. So.
I mean, you did make me sound quite professional at times. Sometimes I said, if I was like, I can't, because I was so concerned when we were doing the interviews of like, I've got to make everyone laugh. Like,
yeah.
And so
you did it.
I mean, I loved it. This was so interesting and it was so much fun. And I had so much fun sitting down with you and your whole team. But how did you figure out, and like, what was the process of figuring out what, like, what three teams you were going to follow throughout this? Because, you know, we've done, like, we've talked about the dance for, you know, the past few years, and there's a bunch of teams that, you know, what we think would have been like amazing characters on this. Yeah. So how did you settle on the three that were featured?
Yeah. So, well, you know, I mean, we knew we wanted to have three different countries represented ideally. And so Maddie and Evan were just sort of like an obvious choice being, you know, first we obviously looked at like the world's standings because we wanted teams mm-hmm. that would be able to sort of last through the series and make it hopefully to the Grand Prix finals. So that was one parameter, and then trying to find teams that represented different countries was another parameter. So Maddie, Evan, Piper, and Paul were pretty, you know, they were pretty easy to slate in, and then it was kind of figuring out who that third team was going to be. And we heard some like whispers, some rumors that they're like team coming together. So we, you know, it kind of all happened at the same time because we started filming in the beginning of March and Guillaume and Laurence announced our partnership right at the end of February last year. So we started having conversations with them. They weren't a part of the film right at the beginning. We weren't sure exactly if they were going to do it or not, but it all sort of gelled, I would say, in that like March, April timeframe. And then we were really kind of off to the races. So, and you know, it worked out great because they all train in Canada. So it was relatively easy to get there, and also representing different countries and very different types of partnerships and different types of skating. So it enabled us to tell different stories and showcase different types of skating within the Ice Dance, you know, series.
Yeah, you know, I was just saying before you got on, like, you know, we all know these skaters personally, and like I covered these skaters myself, like in my own job for a long time. And there were still like a lot of sides of them that I have not seen before. I felt like particularly Piper Gillis like really opened up in the series in such a cool way. And like I came away being like, I mean, she needs to win the gold medal. You know what I mean? And I'm curious about like that process of, did you feel like everybody, because everybody was really open. I'm calling out Piper, but you know, did you find that opening up process to take time, or was everybody like just really comfortable from the get-go, or how do you go about, because you've done this before with athletes, like building a relationship where they trust you in that way?
Yeah, I mean, it takes time, right? Like you have to, because it needs to be genuine, and you know, you can't just force these things. So that was definitely a challenge with this series because we didn't have a tremendous amount of time. I mean, the first event we filmed, we really started, you know, doing this was Worlds, which is not like a low key competition where everyone's relaxed and we just kind of like roll in with our cameras and be like, hey guys, like put your makeup on, we're going to just film you. But that's kind of exactly what we did. So, I mean, I think it was helpful. I spoke to all the teams either in person, I either flew to them or I spoke to them on Zoom in advance and just, you know, had a chance to really kind of introduce myself, introduce the project and get their, you know, what they were feeling and what they were thinking. And just, I think we tried to, you know, just really follow their lead, especially in the beginning. So the last thing I want to do is roll into Worlds and kind of, you know, disrupt their flow. So I was really sensitive to that. And also having been in the skating world myself for so long, both, you know, working at NBC and ABC even before that, I think that helped because even though I didn't know them personally, I knew the environment. I knew most of the people backstage. So it wasn't like I was like just totally walking in cold with no clue of how the sport operates. But that said, it still took time. And I think I felt and they felt, you know, more comfortable as we got into the season. And, you know, it was great because we had the whole summer and springtime to to really kind of get to know each other before we got into the Grand Prix. Because once you get into the Grand Prix, it was just like, you know, pedal down, like, let's go.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a lot of time to, you know, figure out the rhythm anymore. We had to be part of the train leaving the station. Mm-hmm. So, so it, you know, it took time and also not as much time as, you know, I mean, I would have loved to have another 6 months.
I'm really curious because the way that the storytelling element of this, I feel, is so compelling. And you had to navigate a lot of really complicated storylines, some nuanced storylines. And you have a clip of Adam talking about Laurence and Guillaume's partnership where it's kind of dark-sided, the way that they come together. And I think we all would really love to know about just the process and the decisions made about how to tell that story and what you would hope the audience kind of takes away from that.
Yes, it was a hard thing to figure out how to navigate. It's a sensitive subject for all parties involved. I've been someone who has worked with many survivors in my career, so I think I was particularly sensitive to how to tell the story and the right way to do it. Ultimately, you know, we decided that the best and really the only way to do it was to just tell it through Laurence's perspective. She's one of our main characters. It's about her origin story and how she became, you know, into this partnership with Guillaume. So we just tried to keep it really focused on her perspective. Mm-hmm. And I don't have an opinion of how you should feel about it. I want you guys to think about how you feel about it and make that decision for yourself. You know, I think she told the story in the way that she experienced it and she saw it. And, you know, the rest is left for us to decide how we feel about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you mind doing a comparison for us? Because I think, you know, people have a lot of like notions about what Montreal is like and like, you know, versus the other training environments. I'm curious, like, what your observations are comparing and contrasting the kind of conglomerate that is the Montreal school, this like mega school versus Piper and Paul in Scarborough, right? And like what that smaller training environment, like what were kind of the
vibes.
Differences in those. Yeah.
I mean, you know, so the Montreal, like you said, it's like this big conglomerate and it's a lot of moving parts. I had this scene that we had filmed that didn't make the show, but it was with Patrice working on the schedule. Mm-hmm. Had this crazy color-coded schedule for how it all, and it's just like tons of moving pieces and parts. And it changes hourly, I'll get it the night before and it's different the next morning already. And I'm like, oh, wait, okay. I thought we were filming. We'll switch. We'll go over here. And there's just, you know, it took me some time to even understand how to read it. And then you go to Piper and Paul's, you know, rink. And one of my favorite scenes is right off the top where Carol and Yuris are showing us that the wall of photos.
Yeah.
Photo collage that Carol has made of all of the skaters that, you know, they're like a family and it's essentially a scrapbook that they just hang on the wall. And I thought that that was such a great, you know, sort of like visual of this like small kind of homegrown team, like a school where, you know, everyone's part of the photo collage. And, you know, Montreal is also, you know, wonderful and has like lots of warmth and niceness too. There's just no photo collage. So to me, that was like really the visual that kind of compares the two.
And also nobody's dressed like Carol was in that first scene.
Oh my gosh.
That,
the
rhinestone
hat
in that crazy t-shirt.
Yes.
I was like, this is like what happened, Carol.
It's so great.
That was the first thing I texted you guys about when we were watching it was what is going on?
Yeah. And I was 15 minutes behind everybody watching it. And they're like sending me all these things. I'm like, it can't be that bad. And then all of a sudden I see this woman who looks like she's on TikTok live selling things that she's wearing. I'm like, this Carol Lane.
It's my favorite. So that day, first day in Scarborough. So hi, Carol, nice to meet you. I'm Katie. And she rolls in like that.
And ready to go.
Incredible.
Proper British woman.
the ice rink's indoors and it's not sunny. So like a visor in general is just a choice that you're making for yes. fashion. Yeah. And a bedazzled visor is an extra choice that you're making. And I love it so much.
Yeah.
No, it's so it's so Carol. When you get to know Carol, she doesn't give a you know what. And she's quirky too. I mean, she fits so well with Piper and Paul in that sense.
I was just going to say that. Like, I feel like between that and then the scene with one of their people who was working on their choreography with them, who was wearing that like fuzzy bucket hat, where I was like,
oh, this is the cool girl.
Like, the whole thing, it feels so Piper and Paul in a good way, you know, where it's like they really are like, they have like found the right home themselves, like with the people that fit their career and their art and everything.
100%. It's great. I mean, it's so fun. It's such a, you go to that rink and everything just kind of feels like light and fun. And it just has a good vibe. Carol's always joking. They're all joking, even yours. Like, they're all laughing all the time. They're just having a good time. It was, it's a nice energy there. And Carol's bedazzled visor to me is just a highlight.
Emmy. It should be an Emmy. I mean, the other thing I was just noticing, it was just like, Sarah mentioned it in the beginning of just, everybody was so open, and I think Piper was so raw with what she was sharing, but there's this moment of Paul at the Grand Prix final with Piper in the hallway that just like, I could cry thinking about it. He just was so kind and understanding and sweet with her in a moment where she just was,
where she needed
obviously
that.
Emotional.
Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite in the movie. I think that moment speaks volumes to who they are as individuals and the relationship that they truly have and the friendship that they truly have. I mean, that was a really difficult moment. And for one, I was really grateful that they let us into that moment. You know, they mics, they were allowing us to, you know, witness that and be a part of that moment. That was a really hard, you know, time. And the way that Paul talked to Piper and validated her feelings and then let her have her feelings. And Paul is such a nice human being. I adore him. He really is. I wish I could have even more Paul in the show, to be honest with you. There were moments, you know, there's obviously so many people who don't make it. And there were some scenes with him that I loved and didn't make it.
But 3 is not enough. No, episodes. Right?
No. I know. I want more.
Yeah, I know. Same. So, but I love that Piper and Paul scene so much. And I think it just really speaks volumes to their friendship and the way that they treat each other when the cameras aren't rolling just as much as when the cameras are.
Yeah. And I mean, while we're on this, that particular scene and time for them, like, I do want to say that I don't know if it was you, I don't know if it was your editor or like your like producer at home, Leanne, who I also love and used to work with. But whoever like conceived the idea of the Vincent music over them skating and talking about each other in the partnership, like, I was crying listening to that and watching it. I thought that was such a beautiful creative choice that you guys made. Yes. And I like, how did that, who made that, who can I send a gift
flowers to?
I think you need to send flowers to one of our, maybe the unsung heroes that you don't get to, you know, hear and see from, because I'm the one that's representing the team, but our editor, our main editor, Stephanie Yang, who also was on Simone with me, and is just such a talent and so like delicate and nuanced in the how she puts together moments and scenes, and just really just captures the emotion in almost like a quiet way. I think that, I mean, that those moments in there were so beautiful, and all the teams talking about their experiences and, you know, when you're hearing their music and you're just sort of wrapping it up, especially Piper and Paul. I mean, Adam, you knew how emotional that program was, but I think once you, you know, for the rest of our audience, once you hear a little bit more about what went into that decision and why they chose that particular music and to bring it back again this year, it just, there's so many layers to it, and you really, I think you get brought in, and it's hard not to, it's hard not to want to root for them when, you know, when there's so much behind what they're doing.
Totally. I mean, I didn't know about why they wanted to bring that program back. I just assumed that because it was one of their greatest hits, they were bringing it back to kind of pay homage to a version of themselves. But adding in that depth, and like you said, those layers really makes you connect with them in, for me, I feel so much more connected to them now than ever as a team. Mm-hmm. And like, I grew up with them. I've known them as a team forever. But those details just bring humanity into their skating that was always there, but now you can really pinpoint why it feels so special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. I mean, yeah, it's hard not to connect with them. They're so, it's funny because I, you know, like they were an open book from day one from me, and I, for me, and I'm so grateful for it, because there was so much, obviously, especially in Piper's story, there were so many different things to talk about that were not easy subjects to talk about. And, you know, what I try to do is I talk to Piper about like when the timing of having these kinds of conversations, like you don't want to be talking about this 2 weeks before the Grand Prix final. Right. So we made sure that we were having these conversations in the summer. So it was actually one of the first interviews I did was with Piper talking about her mom and her experiences, her own experiences with cancer. And so, yeah, I was really grateful that she let us in even early in the process to be able to share, you know, what she had gone through and what she was still going through.
Yeah. And I assume that's the same with all of them and their respective kind of like tougher conversations, is you want to have those earlier rather than later. Like you think about, you know, we talked about the Laurent story, but like even thinking about the Maddie and Evan delving back into some painful Olympic experiences and probably not wanting to put them in that headspace too close to an Olympic season, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's an interesting thing because in the beginning of a project, you know the people less and they know you less. So you're closer at the end, but you need to have those harder conversations in the beginning. So there's always a little bit of like a, you know, sort of a balance to strike there. But yeah, we did the same with Maddie and Evan. We talked about those Olympic moments. I think we did it in two different interviews actually. But both, you know, earlier on in the process too. So, yeah, just once we got to the Grand Prix, I tried to really kind of like, let them have their space and let them be. And we would, you know, I think instead of me leading the conversation, it was more like I just wanted to be in the room to be a witness to what they were going through, but not necessarily, you know, interjecting as much, because I wanted them to be able to, you know, kind of be in their space. And, you know, it's an intense season. This is the Olympic season. It's not, you know, this is not like laid back chill. And, you know, and here we are with all of our cameras and, you know, we're trying to, so we really tried to, you know, just be mindful of that throughout. And as the season progressed, have fewer and fewer big conversations like that.
Right. Well, and with all three of these teams, you know, we don't know anything for sure, but we know how old they are and we know how long they've skated. And so, you know, you never know how much longer they're going to even be in the sport. So trying to like, I could see what you're saying, trying not to like disrupt that like last experience for them in any way that you don't have to. I am curious about, because you were with Laurence and Guillaume and in the early stages of this partnership, because I feel like for all of us watching, they just showed up at French Masters, whatever it was, their first competition, and then showed up on the Grand Prix and they were just good. And I'm curious if you saw more of like the struggles of early partnership as they tried to get used to each other, and if there's anything you could share about that.
You know, I didn't see a tremendous amount of struggling. I don't know if it was
that's fair.
Yeah, I don't know if it was happening when we were there or if it just wasn't happening. But I mean, you know, there's always growing pains, and they struggled in the sense that they were trying to like figure out their programs and they were trying to figure out what they were going to do for the rhythm dance. They, you know, they changed their music, right in, you know, like 3 weeks before their first Grand Prix. And so I think for them, you know, there's certainly this, those trying to figure out kind of how to work together and how to be together, but I didn't see a lot of, I mean, there's both such strong skaters individually, and I didn't see a tremendous amount of struggle with them on the ice together. And we were there, I mean, right off the bat, pretty much. So granted, I'm not there every day. So I'm sure there's moments that of struggle that I didn't see, but when I was there, it was not, you know, it was normal growing and learning pains, but not necessarily something that seemed really out of the norm.
Okay. So they are as annoyingly talented as they seem.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. They were on their best behavior. Just like Carol was in her best. Cameras are here. Where's my t-shirt?
Exactly.
So with Maddie and Evan, because we've talked a little more about the other two teams, but I think like it's interesting you watch over the course of this series, different things really going awry for the other two teams, you know, like where, it, you know, and I'm not so much meaning like what you were talking about, they have to change the program, but, you know, the sort of scoring debacle in Finland for both of the other two teams were there for that. And then the Piper and Paul, you know, like were sort of distraught after the Grand Prix final. Whereas Maddie and Evan, you know, obviously Evan had some like back pain at Skate America that he had to push through, but you know, things sort of were like working out for them as they, you know, plotted through the course. What's like the difference in covering something like that? And how do you like, I don't know, find the balance switching between teams that are on these totally differing paths, like especially Grand Prix final, you're looking at one team in particular who is like absolutely devastated and another team that is like, wow, our dreams might all come true.
Right. Well, you know, with Maddie and Evan, we had, well, for one, the back, Evan's back at Skate America was pretty bad. And we didn't know if he was going to go to the Grand Prix final. There, he actually, you know, like there was, we filmed with him the week after because he was seeing doctors and we weren't sure if that was going to be like the end of their participation in the film. So at the time it felt a little more like, you know, like, ooh, is this going to be, and then his back improved enough that it didn't become, you know, sort of a consistent story point. I would say if anything, we called it skirt gate because Maddie's skirt was like the thing that, I mean, I saw them trip over that skirt in at least four times in a week and a half. And I was not feeling comfortable. I was like, oh my God. So that, you know, that was something that we were like thinking this was going to be the thing. And it was a big source of tension right before Skate America because she changed her costume and she tried to make it a little shorter, but not really. And, you know, it was back and forth and that, you know, you see that in the film. And then obviously when we got to the Grand Prix final, it ended up not being her skirt, but, you know, Laurence's skirt.
Different skirt.
We were like, I was talking to them after. I'm like, after all that, it was Laurence's skirt. It's like, you know, it's like they gave a clue, like who's in the with the candles.
Yeah.
But you know, as far as like following the drama, we just had to constantly just kind of check in with each team, and you know, the interesting thing about filming these kind of stories and documentaries is that you don't really know how it's ending and you're in the middle of it. This time, because of Grand Prix final is the end of December and we delivered these shows so that they can be on Netflix on this week on Sunday or next week. So we were editing all three episodes while I was filming all three episodes, which is a really challenge because you know, usually you would kind of be like, okay, this is going to be in one. Now we're going to go over to two. Then we're gonna, and it wasn't like that. Everything's moving. It's like a big puzzle and we're shifting it all around. And so we just had to follow each story and then figure out how to find the balance between what they were going through and how their experiences were going to be like woven together to tell the most, you know, kind of complete story that showed everybody.
How do you decide like what ends up in the documentary and what ends up cut? Cause you were talking about, Patrice and his like whole color coded schedule. And I'm sure that there were other pieces of people's stories that you wanted to include as well. Like maybe more of Gabby Papadakis. How do you decide what ends up in the documentary? Is it you? Is it a whole team? Do you look at everything? How many different cuts of these episodes, like, were you looking
at? Lots of cuts. Lots of people part of it. I mean, we had creative calls about this, you know, daily, if not weekly, if not daily. At the end of the day, because there were only three episodes, it's six characters that we are trying to develop in three episodes, which is not a lot. I mean, to think about it, I had four episodes and only Simone, right?
Right.
And now that's right. Six characters in three episodes. And you're following a trajectory of these live events that become like a little bit of a thread. You know, I always say that the competitions are the spine of the story, and then the personal stories are like the heartbeat or the soul. So, and you're trying to balance those two things because you're following what the spine of the story is, and you're trying to kind of weave in this, you know, the emotional stuff. And so with that, all of that said, we had to really focus on just the six characters in the show and their experience in the present, because we were going through this competition season and we needed to be in the moment. So we did a little backstory up in the beginning just to kind of set the, you know, sort of set the stage. And then we had to really stay in the present moment. There were tons of things I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to do like a whole, I'm a bit of an ice skate dork too. So like, I wanted to do like a whole lore section and go back to Torino and, you know, we've got trees and like, the history and all that fun stuff. I'm like, nope.
I'm sure your archival specialist being Michelle Ellis did not help in that department did try to egg you on towards more lore.
Yeah. I mean, we need a whole nother show to do all of the, as you know, the lore. Where's our reenactment of Spago and all the stuff?
Exactly.
That's what was missing.
Yeah, exactly. So we really had to narrow it down to this present moment and specifically the six characters in the show, because there just wasn't enough time to do all of the, you know, we always joke, we're like, Piper's not even married, we don't get to meet Nathan, or, you know, like, it's just like all the side, you know, Paul got engaged, like, where's Kevin, you know, but we just, at the end of the day, we had to just kind of keep going back to our main six.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was there anything that you wish was in the documentary that like, you're like, oh, fine, we'll take it out. Is there some scene? I mean, I'm sure it's like a Sophie's choice of work.
Totally.
Right?
There's lots of scenes like that. I mean, I had this great scene with Paul and Kevin that I loved, just them being together, and you just get to know them as a couple and hear more about like how they, you know, how they got together, and also how Kevin supports Paul through when he was coming out, and, you know, which wasn't that many, that long ago in like his life and in the land of skating, and how that all, you know, sort of played into his decision and how he did it. And, you know, we just weren't able to go into so many different directions. So, but there's plenty of stuff. There's plenty of stuff that I love that's there. And then of course there's always stuff, like you said, and there's tons of great Adam sound. So,
well, that is a good segue, because I did want to ask you, outside of Adam, who did you love, like, outside of the six? Like, you interviewed a ton of people. I'm sure not all of them even made it in, but you interviewed like a ton of people to talk about these characters and whatever. Other than Adam, who is, of course, the clear favorite.
Clear favorite.
Who else were you like just always feeling like was super additive, and like whose bites were you like love to get in from the side, the quote unquote side voices?
Well, you know, I feel like we had a really good balance when, you know, of our experts, because we had Scott and we had Adam and we had Tara and we had Celine Noni, who's like a French journalist that also was in the Simone doc. And so and of course, Maddie Hubbell, who was wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And everyone brought a different strength, you know? So we all know Adam's strengths. So he
we do.
Gift of gab.
lack of weakness.
And, you know, and Maddie Hubble brought just that combination of her ice dance. Maddie and Scott brought their combination of their ice dance knowledge, but also their knowledge of so many of the teams having competed against them. So, you know, and then you have like the, you know, our journalists who have just sort of witnessed it from a different perspective, and they could bring in a different perspective. So, and then you have all of our coaches who, you know, just know these skaters so well. So, so I think it was about trying to just find that, that balance. I mean, at the end of the day, we kept narrowing it down so much to coming the voices of our athletes. Oh, and I used, and Tara was very much like, she was like our roadmap. You know, she explained sport and, you know, in a way that, you know, she does in her commentary. So it was less about talking about the skaters and more about talking about how it all works and how it all comes together. So everyone kind of had a role in order to tell the whole story. Because, you know, one of the challenges with this kind of show is some people that are watch it will be, know everything. They are the diehards. We're all listening to the run through every week, and it's, you know, we know what's going on, right? And then you're going to have an audience that's like, what's ice dance? And they're just like, oh, I'll just watch. And so you have to try to find a way to keep both of those audiences interested and help educate the one audience without making the audience of those that are super knowledgeable feel like they're just being told stuff they already know. So it's a challenge in a project like this. It was the same with Simone. We had to do a similar thing. And so you just try to have different voices that can speak about the sport in different ways so that you can connect with, you know, all different audiences and make everyone feel like they're a part of it and included.
Katie, I want the audience to know, the audience listening to this, not the Netflix audience, although I think there will be some crossover, that you are in Europe and doing this very late at night. So we do want to let you go, but I have one final question for you. The hardest one of the day.
Yes.
Who will the medalists be and in what order in Milan? You have to tell us.
Yes. You guys, have you even done this yet? You're putting me on the spot. I don't know.
You've spent more time with them.
But as we all know, it's not about what I think. I mean, gosh, I don't know. It's so hard. I think if there's one thing that I learned throughout this season, it was that, you know, I think as we all went into the Grand Prix, everyone was trying to predict, right? And it was kind of like, oh, Guillaume and Laurence are going to win, and, you know, they're going to push Maddie and Evan aside, or, you know, whatever is going to happen. That's not what happened. I mean, we went to the Grand Prix final, and that's not what happened. And, you know, if there's anything I learned, it's that it's not as predictable as maybe we all think it is. So I don't know. I feel like it's going to come down to that day. And, you know, I honestly hope they all skate well.
Yeah.
I hope there's no drama that is, you know, at least within their control. That my goal with this film was that you watch the show and you walk away finding reasons to care and reasons to root for all teams. Everyone has their favorite and everyone has their feelings, but I hope that you can walk away just appreciating and hoping for each team to do as well as they can and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. So I will be, like everyone else, sort of biting my fingernails, watching and waiting to see. So I don't know. I'm not answering.
Okay. Yeah. So this, no, she did refuse to answer this question. Though. So let the record show.
This is the answer she did not answer.
And I also have not made a real hard prediction on anything. So I have no room to talk. Neither do any of us. So
no, we just recorded our dance preview and almost verbatim said what you just said.
Yeah,
so
we'll see.
We'll see. You have to be in the rink on that day.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows, right? Like, I thought the Grand Prix final was going to be really predictable, and it ended with a fall and, you know, one of our teams not on the podium, and there was bloodshed, and, like, things happened, you know? So
things happened.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen. So.
Well, thank you so much, Katie. First of all, for doing this, but for even like broader, like just for what you do to show athletes' stories in all of your work. Like, I love watching anything that you do. And I think that feeling is shared by Adam and Ashley, who, you know,
totally mutual.
Yeah. It was so cool to see our world on Netflix in a way that wasn't making it a cartoon. It was real. So that meant a lot.
I hope that this just brings more eyes to ice dance and, you know, skating in general, and it deserves all that attention. And hopefully this just brings in more fans and more people that are going to be watching and rooting and listening to the podcast.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
From your lips to our Patreon.
Yeah.
You know, that first interview, because we interviewed you twice, Adam, as you know, and that first one that I can remember it happening in the moment in the room where you were talking about the red, you know, who can do a good red lip. And I was like, I am filming a scene just to accompany what he just said.
Because it is worth it.
So good.
We need the red lip.
That whole scene in the mirror with everyone looking in the mirror. I did that just to go with what you said in that interview because it was so great. So thank you.
I mean, it worked. It looked great. It did work. So, Katie, thank you so much. We love you. Thank you.
Guys. I love you guys too. I'll see you, if not in Milan, then somewhere soon along the way.
You will.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Bye, Katie.
Bye.
All right. Well, you can check out Glitter and Gold on Netflix. Highly, highly, highly recommend it. We are obsessed with it. We're obsessed with
Katie. I love listening to Katie talk about the process.
Me too.
I love it. It's like so, it's so interesting. You know, even like we know so many things about the backdrop of this whole thing, and it's still like so fascinating to talk about. So. This was our special Monday episode. And hopefully it's a great accompaniment to your own viewing of Glitter and Gold, and to get you excited about the ice dance event in Milan. And thank you to Katie and Netflix and everybody for letting us cover it a little bit. That felt like journalism.
That was journalism. There was my email and the date at the top of the screener, which I was like, this is very cool.
Very journalism. Okay.
Very journalistic.
Happy Monday, everyone. We'll see you more this week. So.
Yes, we will. On the road to Milan.
Bye. Ciao.
Bye, everybody.